This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 14, 2021. The Fourth Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If I have spoken to you of earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I shall speak to you of heavenly things?
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I very, very rarely open a homily with a verse that is not read from the lectionary. But sometimes you have to set the stage. The stage has to be set on this very familiar gospel passage. It is a gospel passage that pagans can recite. Everybody has issues with memorizing this and memorizing that. Heathens have memorized John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. They can recite it. We can recite it. But they, and a lot of us, don't truly know what it says. We know the words, but we don't know the substance. I don't know if you noticed or not, but in the reading today, which was not tremendously lengthy from John chapter 3, I put emphasis on every time I use the word believe. Belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and in his atoning death is the necessity of getting into heaven. You do not go to heaven unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. It does not say, for God so loved the world that all who are seeking him in their own way will not perish but have everlasting life. It says that all who believe in him will have everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that if you don't believe, that you are condemned. You are hellbound if you don't believe in him as the only way to get to heaven. This is John 3. It's interesting that John 3, why is it recited so often? Because it's like the, if you misinterpret it, it is like the warm and fuzzy chapter of Scripture. You know what the context is, and this is why I started. If I have spoken to you of earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I shall speak to you of heavenly things? Jesus Christ in John 3 is rebuking Nicodemus. John 3:16 is a rebuke because Nicodemus didn't believe. And the kind of fact that Nicodemus didn't believe is very, very telling to us because Nicodemus was the man when it came to religion. John 3 starts out, the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you know, we want to use our terminology. The Pharisees were like the bishops. You know, they were the conference of bishops of the day, the Pharisees. There was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel. These are the adjectives that are placed on Nicodemus. He's the man. He's a ruler. He's a master. He's one of the you look to for your religion. And our Lord Jesus Christ is rebuking him. Because what has our Lord Jesus Christ presented to him? That you need to be born again. You need to be born in water, the Holy Spirit, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's very explicit. And Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the ruler of Israel, the master, looks at her because he's trying to get his intellectual human head around what Jesus says. And he don't get it because you can't get your human intellect around things of God. You just have to believe in them. So Nicodemus doesn't get it. And it's not, Jesus doesn't say, Nicodemus, I'm rebuking you because you don't understand. He doesn't say he rebukes him because he doesn't understand or that he misinterprets what he said. He says, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you believe not. Our faith is a faith of belief. Our faith is an embracing of things that we can't get our mind around, like the Eucharist and the Trinity and all these other things. We need to believe it because Jesus Christ says it. It's an imperative. It's a demand on our lives as Catholics to believe and present to others that Jesus Christ and his cross are the only way to get to heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ, does it get any more explicit? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I wish I had a dime for every hour of my life that I've spent reading modernist drivel about why Jesus doesn't mean what he says. Well, we're just presenting it now in a more positive way. Jesus didn't present it in a positive way. He says that no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, whether you want to take that positively or negatively, that's what Jesus says. Our arrogance in trying to explain away what Jesus says is mind-boggling. And it is rampant within the modernist church. Like I said, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You need to believe in him. It is necessary to go into heaven. He doesn't say, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that all monotheists will have eternal life. Out of three monotheistic religions, two deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One looks at him as a prophet, the second to another one that's going to come on, and one of them just look at him as a heretic, a crazy rabbi who claimed to be something that he was not. That's your other monotheistic religions, who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, who does not believe is condemned. So who are we to look at other people? It is a lack of charity. It's hatred. It is hatred for us to look at people who are in danger of hell and to tell them that they're okay. That is not our message. That was not Jesus Christ's message. That was not the message of any martyr, any apostle, any confessor of our Lord Jesus Christ for whom we have feast days. That was never, ever the proposition that they presented. That's why they got killed. It was that important. It is that important. The times have changed. No, they haven't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's God. He's immutable. There is no variableness of change in him. And we must believe in him and his cross. We are expected to know these things. If you think about it, it's really kind of simple. It's not a matter of passing a theology exam to get into heaven. You're going to have a 100-question catechism test. Better get a 90 on it or you don't get into heaven. The only thing you have to know is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. And just believe that. And the way we believe it, the way we prove we believe it, is to present that to others, recognizing him as the Son of God. Because if we don't recognize him as such, we are judged. We are condemned already. as our Lord Jesus Christ says, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we will surrender ourselves to him and his will. We will consequently do everything in our power to be like him. And he did not shun to go to places and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ did not dialogue with one person. And if he's our example, why should we? That word's never used in a church document or in scripture in the way it's presented now. There is no dialogue. The gospel is a confrontation. You are condemned because you don't believe the Son of God. Believe in him and you will have everlasting life. It's a free offer to anyone who will accept it. But they got to know it. We have to present it to them like that. And if we don't, we're malfeasant. We are not doing what our Lord wants. He says, go, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. So when we go to places where people don't believe in him, we have to present all those three things to them. That's not what's happening in our day. People are going and meeting with people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. You're our brothers. I know what Catholic doctrine says, but you know, I'm willing to take the heat for not holding because you're our brothers. No, they're not. You're showing your disdain for them by allowing them to stay in the darkness in which they find themselves and not presenting them to them the light of Christ. Does not this gospel say the light has come into the world and they would not receive it? John 1 says that. A light shineth in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God and that he died for your sins, you're in darkness. That whole, you are the light of the world. You're the light because you are supposed to be presenting Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be confronting those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, no matter whether they're monotheists, pagans, jump over campfires and bark at the moon all night, druids. Okay? They need to know Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't matter how lost you are, you're just lost. I am the light of the world, says our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a supreme act of God's love that he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. And if we look at other people and say, you don't have to embrace that, we say you don't have to embrace God's love. You can spit on what he did for you. You don't have to believe this. You're okay. As I said before, that is not our church. Never has been. You know, two times in our Mass, we read the list of saints. They all died confronting people who didn't believe in Jesus Christ with the fact that they needed to believe in him. Every name that you hear in the Mass today, as you go through the list, why are things the way they are now? Because in most parishes in which you go, you don't hear that list anymore. Why? Because if somebody said, who's that list of people? They all died because they confronted people who didn't believe in Jesus with their truth that they needed to believe in him. And they were killed for it. Clerics who bind themselves to the old breviary. Every day you pray an office called prime. Most people don't even know what that is anymore because why it was suppressed about 50-ish years ago. In prime, that office that was suppressed, an integral part of it rubrically was that you had to read the Roman Martyrology every single day. Every single day you are confronted with the names and some graphic details of what men and women endured for confronting others with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, of course, if you don't hear about it anymore, then you can kind of lighten up things because nobody knows that all these people died. You know what? And every single day, darn near, one of the people who died, or several of the people who died, died confronting monotheists with the necessity of believing in Jesus Christ. This morning, in the Roman Martyrology, Saint Eutychius and his companions slain by Evelide, the king of the Arabs, for their confession of the faith. Just this morning, a soul and his companions who were killed in the most brutal way for presenting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the necessity to embrace it or you will not get into heaven. That's our message. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ said they're going to hate you because they hated me first. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to be talking about me. They hated me, they're going to hate you. If you haven't seen the hatred for confronting people with the gospel directly, unequivocally, if you haven't seen that hatred, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Most of it will start in our families. Those lapsed people, those people who wind up denying our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to confront them. You need to confront your friends. You need to be bold with the message. This is what we're supposed to do. This whole thing, we're all brothers, we all believe in God. And so that's not what our Lord says. We have to appreciate the fact that these men and women died for it. But now we have people, again, I hope it's just out of ignorance of what has been the paradigm in our faith. The suffering that we have to do, like our Lord did. Jesus is our example. Jesus got hung on a cross because he was confrontational with the reality of who he was. He hung on a cross for that. And we like to wear, what would Jesus do? That's what he did. That's what he did. I was like, what would Jesus do? Because he's nice to everybody. No, he wasn't. If you're nice to everybody, don't hang you on a cross. That's the reality of your faith. This is the reality. There is an unreal presentation. It's not a lukewarm presentation. It's just not a presentation of the gospel. It's just not Catholic. We have to understand that. Well, this person said this, and I don't care what their position is. Okay, you've heard Jesus Christ speak. You know the context in which he speaks. And you have to embrace that. You have to believe it. Or you'll go to heaven. We better start acting like this. You know, for us to look at people and say we care about them when we know that they're dying and we don't point them to the physician, it defies logic. Which one of you would have a family member who walked up to you and go, I haven't been able to sleep for a few days because I can't really breathe well because I've been having these crushing chest pains. Take a couple aspirin, you'll be all right. I need to get you to the hospital. Why? You're having a heart attack. You could die. Who would look at them and say, don't worry about it. That's what we do. There is no difference, except for the fact that if you die of a heart attack, that's a temporal death. These people will die the eternal death, the separation from God, because they have not embraced Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a gospel message. That's John 3:16. Don't ever negate that all-important part. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the physician for dying souls, and we need to present him as such. I'll end this up with St. Augustine. Don't listen to me. Listen to St. Augustine in this context of Jesus as the physician. As far as it lies in the power of the physician, he has come to heal the sick. Whoever does not observe his orders destroys himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.